Yoga Swami of Jaffna. I am here, I am there, I am everywhere, and I am the madman who knows it. Sometime between 1934 and 1940, Sri Yoga Swami, the great sage of Sri Lanka, came to India and met Bhagavan Sri Ramana Maharishi. From then on, Yoga Swami always referred to Bhagavan as a Mahaviran, a great hero. About Arunachala, which Yoga Swami held most sacred as the silent, unchanging manifestation of the One without a second and Sri Bhagavan's acknowledged Guru, he sang, the feet of which Sri Vishnu himself could not attain the vision, the feet of truth, which stands as one, pervading heaven and earth. They are our ever-present help, our refuge and support. Natchintane 2321. Natchintane means good thought. It was the name Yoga Swami gave to the large number of spontaneous songs he sang that were, or were not, as the case might be, written down by some devotee at the time of their utterance. All references are to the page number on which the song appears in the 1974 English edition of Natchintane. Songs and sayings of Yoga Swami, hereafter referred to as Natchintane, published by the Sivathundan Society, Jaffna. Devaram used to be sung every evening in Yoga Swami's presence. About the custom, he once quipped, "We sang Devaram to while away the time, but time has not gone. We too are eternal." The story goes that when in 1897, the great Swami Vivekananda stopped at Jaffna on his triumphant return from the World Parliament of Religions as an inconspicuous man named Yoganathan attended his lecture at the Hindu college. Vivekananda, who had many engagements that day, began his talk with the words, "Time is short, but the subject is vast." Yoganathan abruptly got up, left the auditorium, and at once set off in search of a guru. The words remained with him all his life. Little is known about the early life of the future sage, except that he was born into a pious Saiva family on Wednesday, May 29, 1872, in the village of Mavitapuram. After his mother's death, when he was still an infant, he was sent to live with his paternal uncle in Kozhumbuthurai, about 3 miles outside Jaffna, where, for the most part, he remained for the rest of his life. He began his formal education in a Tamil school in the neighborhood and finished it at St. Patrick's College, reputedly one of the leading educational institutions in Ceylon. He thus acquired advanced proficiency in both Tamil and English, being a missionary school. Study of the Christian Bible was obligatory. This, together with the Tamil scriptures he studied by choice, made a profound impact on Yoganathan, as evidenced by his frequent references in later life to biblical quotations to illustrate Vedantic truths. About 1901, he came firmly under the influence of his guru, Chelappa Swami, who lived in the precincts of the great Murugan temple of Nallur, some 3 miles from Kozhumbuthurai. From then on, every weekend, Yoganathan would vigorously walk the full 45 miles from where he was working to Nallur to be with his guru and again walk back to work the following Monday. Near the house of the chariot at Lord Murugan's shrine, I had darshan of the master. "Hey, who are you?" he cried. Near the house of the chariot at Lord Murugan's shrine, I had darshan of the master. "Dive deep within and realize," he shouted and laughed aloud. Chelappan Swami was a jnani who cloaked his greatness in Anmatha Avastha, one of the three classical guises of the jnani as described in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Balam Matha Pisachavat, like a child, madman, or gaul, the guise of a madman. Indeed, locally he was known as Visai, mad Chelappan. He would throw stones at people and use obscene language and mad talk to drive them from him and keep all at a distance but the most serious. Attracting people to one's self is another self-deluding activity. Chelappan was great. He never gave in to such delusions. He merely muttered, "Who knows?" And it was all settled long ago, and went about the outer courtyards of the Nallur temple and sat in the dirt, saying that all the filth would frighten away the people who came to fall at his feet. I don't think anyone ever got an answer to a question. I merely stood and waited behind him for the occasional gem that fell out of all the mad talk. Yoga Swami once said, in addition to his apparent madness, Chelappan used to repeat, often for months at a time, one or another variation of certain enigmatic sayings of which he was particularly fond. There were four fundamental sayings, and as they contained the essence of the teachings of both Chelappan and his disciple Yoga Swami, they came to be known as the Mahavakyas, or great sayings. 1. There is not even one wrong or harmful thing. 2. We do not know, or we know nothing. 3. It was all finished or accomplished long, long ago. Alternatively, it was all perfect and complete from the very beginning. 4. All is truth. Alternatively, the entirety of everything is the reality. These apparently enigmatic sayings, when meditated upon, reveal a depth of meaning. Their multi-dimensionality directs the mind to the very nature of reality. About their profundity and the benefits that meditation on them bestows, Yoga Swami sang, "They are the best of all who know themselves. Upon this earth, they will not take birth again. Those who have seen how three have become one, they are the wise, know them. He is the guru whose attributes and qualities transcend, who is knowledge of all knowledge, beyond what is beyond. The God who makes the hearts of devotees his temple, he is indeed the Lord Supreme. He who is and says it within the hearts of all, pursue him and be happy." Clearly, employment 45 miles distant from his guru could not hold Yoganathan for long, and after 6 years, he quit his job to immerse himself completely in his guru's holy presence. In speechless silence, he bade me to relish who I am. Distinctions fade. I imbibe his grace, and instantly I gain the clarity of wisdom and become immersed in bliss. Yoga Swami and Sri Ramana Maharishi. There are striking parallels between the teachings of Yoga Swami and those of his contemporary. Bhagavan Sri Ramana Maharishi, the Swayambhu Guru of Tiruvannamalai. Indeed, the phenomenon of similarity also struck Yoga Swami's disciples who, seeing no difference between the two gurus, would frequently come to Ramanashramam, often for prolonged periods, for Bhagavan's darshan and to seek elucidation on points that the enigmatic Yogi Swami would not elaborate upon. They found Bhagavan Ramana more approachable, and though he might observe silence, he never, like Yoga Swami, sent anyone away. Yoga Swami observed the outward gunam of the Kshatriya. Like a king, he ordered people to come or go. Ramana, the Brahma Rishi, was ever the Sakshi, the witness. He let people and events come and go and unfold as they would. On a deeper level, of course, both Jnanis knew that it was all accomplished long, long ago. Among the regular visitors to Ramanashramam, readers of Day by Day with Bhagavan will be familiar with K. Colombo Ramachandran, whose son lived and worked in Ramanashramam, and K. Navaratnam and Ma Ratna Navaratnam. Of Bhagavan's attraction for these earnest seekers, two examples should suffice. On the one hand, we have the cryptic Mahavakya, "We do not know," or "We know nothing." On the other hand, we find Bhagavan saying in Talks, page 154, "Cease to be the knower, then there is perfection." And in Day by Day, page 195, "The state we call meditation is simply being oneself, not knowing anything or becoming anything." About his remarkable experience with the two gurus, Yoga Swami and Sri Maharishi, Sri Gauribala Swami, the first Western disciple of Yoga Swami, narrated the following anecdote. Before the Second World War broke out, he had been living in Ceylon as a Buddhist monk. Like other German nationals, he was interned in North India for the duration of the war. On his way back to Ceylon after the war, he stopped at Ramanashramam to have darshan of Sri Bhagavan. Having recently converted to Hinduism, the Swami had a great many questions he wanted Bhagavan to clarify. But as time wore on, his mind became far too quiet for questions, and they all evaporated. When 3 months were completed and he was preparing to depart for Lanka, Swami asked Bhagavan for one final upadesa for his sadhana. The truth can be summed up in the words, "I am that I am," said Bhagavan, and the method is Summa Iru. Not at knowing temple, Gauribala asked another devotee what the word meant, whether not knowing English or Sri Bhagavan's teaching well enough. The devotee answered that they meant be quiet. Puzzled, Gauribala took leave and returned to Lanka. Shortly thereafter, he met Yoga Swami and came strongly under his influence. At the time of initiation, Yoga Swami uttered only 2 words, Summa Iru. The last words of Sri Bhagavan were the initiatic words of Yoga Swami, and it took Gauribala many years to delve into the full meaning of this identical Upadesa. From the time Yoganathan quit work to be with his guru, his life became one of intense spiritual discipline, severe tapas, and stern trials. Once a tapas was a continuous 40-day meditation. At the end of it, Yoganathan, presenting himself before Chellappan, received his guru's benediction. Rude and peremptory, the words shot out, "Go you hither and thither and beg for your food." With this, he sent the disciple away to stand on his own 2 feet and digest what had been transmitted. The year was 1906 and Yoganathan was 34 years old. Thus began Yoganathan's solitary sadhana when he too was absorbed in anmatha avastha like his guru. Naked, he would lie in the hot sun for hours and days with chili powder smeared all over his body. If he was approached, he would hurl stones or abuse, often both. Thus, he kept it himself and followed his guru's upadesa. In 1910, he once again returned to Chellappan and heard the following blessing ring out. Look here, the city of Lanka I have given. I have given the king's crown. I have given. I have given." About the middle of that year, Yogaswami went on a solitary padayatra to Lanka's numerous shrines and holy places, meeting on the way many saints and ascetics from various traditions, Hindu, Buddhist, Sufi, and tribal. When he returned to his old haunts after a year or so, he was recognized by the people as Rajarishi. Revering him as a king of yogis, they began to call him Yogaswami. The name stuck. In 1915, Yogaswami heard of Chellappan's impending death and went to Nellore to visit the dying guru. Chellappan was then being nursed in the hut of a relative. Quietly approaching the gate of the compound, Yogaswami heard Chellappan shout from within, "Stand outside and see." Typically, this was not a rebuff, but rather the guru's final blessing to a beloved disciple. While colloquially meaning outside, it also means open space, void, akasha, shunya. To ever abide in the plenum void, that is Brahman, is the ultimate state of realization, truly a great parting benediction. The favor on the external plane pulled Yogaswami more deeply than ever within the heart. It is all it is. It is as it is. You are I am you. On the Nakshatram of Ashwini, in the month of March 1915, Chellappan Swami, aged about 70, attained Mahasamadhi. From 1915 onwards, Yogaswami led the life of a renounced recluse, remaining in anmatha avastha. Like his guru, he could be seen frequenting the Nellore chariot, where Chellappan had spent most of his life. The Thundi crematorium, one or another ashram, and the Grand Bazaar, that most often he was to be found sitting under an ilupai tree at the school junction in Koyambuthurai, immersed in Samadhi. He would sit there for months at a stretch, totally indifferent or oblivious to his surroundings and the inclemencies of weather. The 1921 flood in Jaffna came and went without disturbing his repose. It was only in 1923 when he accepted the invitation to live in a simple coconut-thatched mud hut in the compound of a householder devotee near the tree under which he had been living, that his Anmatha Avastha came to an end and Swami entered the more approachable state in which he remained till his Mahasamadhi. Though always terse and often enigmatic, ever spontaneous in words and actions, Swami nevertheless led from then on a normal life of regular habits, and devotees found it possible to come to him for guidance. But it was only in 1934 when he gave his permission to a group of his devotees to publish the Sivathundan, Servant of Shiva, a religious journal in Tamil with a small section in English, that his teaching became known to the world at large. Typically, however, as long as he lived, Swami forbade his name or photograph to be printed in a magazine. Between 1934 and 1940, Yogaswami undertook a number of trips to India, during one of which he went to see Sri Ramana Maharishi. The following are Swami's words about his meeting with Sri Bhagavan. "We did not go with any desire. We simply summa went. We stayed for about an hour. He did not speak at all. He is a great hero." Ever spartan with words, Yogaswami has nevertheless condensed into these five aphoristic sentences a glowing tribute to the sage of Arunachala. In saying summa we went, the accent is on the word summa, as important a word and concept in Yogaswami's teaching as in Sri Bhagavan's. In its metaphysical sense, the word indicates a state of unruffled inner poise and stillness. Be still and know that I am is God. A quotation much used by both Yogaswami and Bhagavan. That stillness is the state of being summa. Brahman is summa and summa irutal, abiding in stillness. The real silence or maunam is to abide as Brahman, our true nature and being. In the entire hour that Yogaswami spent in the presence of Sri Bhagavan, no words were spoken. They were both summa. Their communion was like that of Dakshinamurti, of whom Sri Bhagavan was the living embodiment, a communion in silence. And Yogaswami, who never overtly praised anyone, came away calling Ramana a Mahaviran, a great hero. The rest of Yogaswami's life is really a description of his influence on his devotees and disciples, and can best be told through their impressions and anecdotes. Like Sri Bhagavan, Yogaswami never accepted the title of Guru, but as Arthur Osborne has said of Sri Bhagavan, those who were his disciples nevertheless knew so unerringly. Sourced from the Jayanti 1994 Mountain Path.